Mike DeGubin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in the wonderful, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is Bob Griggs with the Bread of Life broadcast, and I'm delighted to have you joining us for a few moments of Bible study together as we're continuing to think about new birth blessings. So many wonderful blessings are ours through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord has transformed the life of many who have put their faith and trust in him, have accepted him as Savior, have been born again by the work of the Holy Spirit of God through faith in the Lord Jesus. And so what does it mean? Why does man need new birth? This is a question that many might ask. I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't done any really bad things. So why do I need salvation? Why do I need new birth? Why am I not okay the way I am? Well, the Bible gives us very clear explanation of man's need of salvation. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, we read, Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Man needs a second birth because man needs life, eternal life. You see, beloved, all are under the curse of sin, and it began many, many centuries ago in a beautiful garden called Eden, the Garden of Eden. And it's recorded in the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, which is a book of beginnings, in Genesis chapter 3. We read the account of man's fall into sin. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And we found out in Revelation chapter 12 who the serpent is. The last book of the Bible helps us to understand the first book of the Bible. And in Revelation chapter 12, we read that Satan is, that serpent is picturing and is a tool that Satan used to accomplish his evil purpose. Satan, the serpent, was a beautiful creature in the Garden of Eden. It wasn't a writhing reptile that wiggles and squirms on the ground like we know a snake to be today. But it was a beautiful, beautiful creature. And thus we see that this beautiful creature, this subtle creature, more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, he said unto the woman, Now, I don't know whether animals spoke in the Garden of Eden or not. They may have. It seems that Eve was not at all surprised for the serpent to begin to communicate and talk with her. And so we see the serpent said to the woman, which was Eve, the first woman that God had created as a helpmeet for Adam, the first man. And the information is given in chapters 1 and 2 of God's creation of Adam and Eve. And so the serpent begins to speak to Eve. And he says, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And so the woman begins to communicate with the serpent. And this is where the first mistake is made when we begin to listen to Satan and his evil spirits as they whisper their lies to us. And Satan said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it. And then she adds a little bit more. Perhaps Adam had told her this, Neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. That was the warning, not to eat or partake of that tree in the midst of the garden, which is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know. He quickly goes on to neutralize that statement by saying, For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. Which was true. Their understanding of right and wrong would be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now he said, you're going to really be like somebody special if you will go ahead and partake of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, we're told over in 1 John 2, 15-16, not to love the world, nor the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And it's a method that Satan used at the very beginning, and he still uses that method today to deceive and blind men, women, boys, and girls to the truth and keep them from coming to the knowledge of the truth. And so we read in verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it appealed to her flesh, the lust of the eye. It looked like it would be good to eat. It appealed to her eyes and what she saw. The woman saw that the tree was good for food. Oh, how many times we are led into temptation by our eyes, by what we see, by what we look at. And that's the premise upon which so many things in this world operates. Advertisement operates on what you see, what your eyes behold, what your eyes look at, what attracts the eyes. Pornography operates on the lust of the eye. It operates that way and has drawn so many into bondage and into sin and into wickedness and into heartache. Oh, the lust of the eye is something that Satan uses today to ensnare and to trap and to bring men under his control and under his dominion. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, it appealed to the flesh. It looked like it would really taste good. It looked like it would really be delicious. And it appealed to the flesh and to the lust of the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. It would make her wise. She would become a little god by eating of it. How many people today have fallen into the movement called the New Age movement, which began right here in the Garden of Eden, and there's not anything new about it. It's a part of the basic things that Satan uses to entice and to ensnare and to trap people, to keep them from the knowledge of the truth, to blind them to the truth. There's so many ways that Satan works to keep people from the knowledge of the truth. And so when The woman saw that the tree was good for food. It appealed to the lust of the flesh, that it was pleasant to the eyes. It appealed to the lust of the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. It appealed to the pride of life. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now here we see people like to share their sinful activity. They like to draw others into what they're doing. That's wrong. It helps to ease their conscience to have more people involved in their sinful acts and in their sinful practice. And Adam is her husband. He's there with her. And Eve is to be his helpmeet. He is to be the one that's the head of the home. The Word of God tells us over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5 and 6, that the husband is to be the head of the home, and that he is to make the final decision. But here we see Eve offering the fruit to Adam. She's already partaken of it. And he loves Eve, and he reaches out. He takes that which God has said, you shall not eat of it. He knows that it's wrong, but he deliberately reaches out and partakes of it in disobedience to God. That's why Romans 5:12 tells us, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world. And you might say, but Eve was the first one to take of it. Yes, but she was deceived, as the Word of God tells us. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now here we see the first results of their disobedience to God. Their spiritual understanding is illuminated. They realize they've done wrong. They recognize that they walked in obedience, disobedience to Almighty God. And then they see their nakedness. Before, they were innocent. They were like little children that love to run around without any clothes on, that are naked and are not convicted about it and don't see anything wrong with it because they're in a state of innocence. Adam and Eve were in a state of innocence until sin entered in. Now they know right from wrong. And so now they try to cover their nakedness by sewing fig leaves together to hide their nakedness. Oh, beloved, how man has been trying to hide his sin ever since the Garden of Eden, to cover it up, to act like it's not there, but it is very well known and seen. Till next time, goodbye.